On day one of my administration, I will declare a housing emergency. We need more affordable housing.
Republican mayoral candidate Joe Loda there, and let others cover just the horse race. On the Brian Lehrer Show, we have issues. It's Affordable Housing and Development Week in our 30 Issues in 30 Days election series. Want to talk inequality? We got to talk housing. Homelessness grew to a record level on Michael Bloomberg's watch. Commutes have gotten longer, except for the rich, because of where most people can now afford to live. And property taxes keep going up in New Jersey and all the suburbs. Can any candidate really create enough affordable housing to change the script? Today is issue 21, low-income housing, NYCHA, that's the New York City Housing Authority, Section 8, and what the next mayor can do about the scourge of homelessness. Joining us for this is Dr. Ralph DaCosta Nunez, president and CEO of the Institute for Children, Poverty, and Homelessness. Welcome to WNYC, Dr. Nunez.
My pleasure.
The poverty rate is 21% in New York City, for anybody who needs to be reminded of that shocking number. On any given night, there are about 50,000 people who sleep in shelters or on the street, and 21,000 of those are children. The shelter population has grown by over 60%, and there's been an over 70% increase in homeless families during the Bloomberg years. So let us start by looking back, and I want to ask you why. What, in your view, has changed so dramatically to create these conditions?
Well, a few missteps. Missteps on the part of the Bloomberg administration in the early days. We've kind of lost sight on what homelessness was supposed to be about. And the policies, they came with big promises, but they didn't think out the big solutions that had to happen.
And homelessness did go down on Bloomberg's watch at first. So was it the financial crisis?
No, that's only part of the story. The fact that homelessness was pretty constant during the first part of his administration. Then they changed policies, and they moved towards a big announcement of reduce homelessness by two-thirds, and you started to move homeless families as fast as you could out of the system. The problem is homelessness is not a one-dimensional issue. It's a multidimensional issue. It's not just a housing problem for certain homeless families. Some it is, many it isn't. There's domestic violence. There's some child abuse. There's a lack of education, employable skills. The problem people have when they talk about homelessness in this city is that we think of it, oh, you're just poor. Well, you are poor and you are poorer. You can't maintain a home. It's not an issue of having it. You can't maintain it.
Listeners, what should be done to create more low-income housing in New York City? 212-433-WNYC. Affordable housing is such a huge category. It includes various levels of middle-class housing. We'll talk about that as the week goes on. Affordable Housing Week here in our 30-issue series on The Brian Lehrer Show. But how about real low-income housing, things like public housing and Section 8 vouchers? Anything you want to say or ask or propose with respect to policy for the next mayor? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or post to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show for Dr. Ralph DaCosta Nunez, president and CEO of the Institute for Children, Poverty, and Homelessness. Bill de Blasio says he wants to return to the pre-Bloomberg system of giving shelter residents priority for Section 8 vouchers and public housing apartment units. What would that require, and did that work, in your opinion, in the past, to get shelter residents into more permanent housing and back on their feet?
Well, yes, it did work. Any subsidy will move people out. The question is, can they stay out? Section 8, you know, was reduced by the federal government because the federal government suddenly had a reduction in public assistance but an increase in Section 8 roles.
And Section 8, if we can go way back, was once a Republican idea that was kind of a compromise because rather than have the government build public housing projects, this was using the power of the market, just like their four education vouchers today for private schools give poor people vouchers that they could go and use with private landlords.
That's right. And its secondary element of that is it also allowed for an integration that you couldn't do building public housing in middle-class communities. The problem is, who will take a Section 8 voucher? And many, many poor landlords took them. And so you didn't change the nature of a community. But now Section 8 is virtually a dead issue. There's very little of it left. It's why the Bloomberg administration moved to its own subsidy voucher system that it used for 2 years with its Advantage program, its Housing Stability Plus. The problem is you must understand the nature of the population. When you tell a poor population we're going to give out a voucher worth $1,000 for 2 years, they will come. Their view and vision is short term. In 2 years, I'll worry about it another way. And that's one of the things that was a misstep with Bloomberg's homeless policy. It ballooned the system. There are thousands and thousands of families living doubled and tripled up. They came in for their place in line.
They came in for their place in line. In other words, you accept the critique that by offering apartments or vouchers to people in shelters, that people actually leave housing that they have and move into shelters?
Yes, absolutely. It happened under Koch. It happened under Dinkins when he reduced the welfare hotels, and then he opened up the housing authority. People came in droves, and now it's happened under Bloomberg.
De Blasio, I think, rejects that premise and says, look, living in a shelter is, such a horrible thing for an individual, never mind a family with children, to endure, that families just aren't going to do it and aren't, in fact, doing it. Is that your understanding of his position, but you think that's rhetoric?
I do think it's rhetoric. You know, having been around this issue for almost 30 years, I can tell you that shelters aren't what they were 30 years ago. They've evolved into apartments, many of them with their own cooking, private bath. They're something very different. But the truth of the matter is shelters have become the surrogate for low-income housing in this city, and no one will say that.
So if you don't put shelter residents first on the list for permanent housing, what do you suggest?
Well, I do suggest that you put them on the list, but I think you prioritize them. I think the homeless issue has been, again, this one-dimensional thing. It really needs to be triaged. There are three groups of homeless. Those who are only here for a short crisis. They didn't pay the rent because they paid a medical bill. We should prioritize them, voucher them out. It should be short term. They'll get back to work. There's another group who maybe have forgotten the skills they had or haven't completed their education, and with a little more training, we can get them at least a good job to get started. That's your second group. The third group is a very chronic group of homeless, and these are the people that we see return to shelters over and over and over again. Right now, in the final part of the Bloomberg years, the return to shelter rate is 56%. 56% of these families have been here before. We've done this wrong.
This is WNYC FM HD and AM New York, WNJT FM 88.1 Trenton, WNJP 88.5 Sussex, WNJY 89.3 Netcong, and WNJO 90.3 Toms River, where New York and New Jersey Public Radio. Affordable Housing Week in our 30 Issues in 30 Days election series. And for so many people in both states, this is the issue that they want their mayoral candidates and gubernatorial candidates to deal with. Jose in Woodside, you're on WNYC. Hello, Jose.
Hi. I've been listening to this commentary, your commentator, your speaker. Now I'm 60 years old, 68, and I've lived in New York all my life in all the boroughs. And I've seen homelessness, and I've seen the agony that it causes, and I've seen the promises that have been made. All of these people have promises. I've worked with an agency in the Bronx. I was approached for a job by them to create a program. They were creating a program and approaching New York for a subsidy, a federal subsidy, to get involved in this creating. And it's all... They were primarily concerned with the administrative, the benefits that they would get as being the administrators of this plan. And so you see that there are different levels, but the lowest level usually never really realizes anything out of it. A few will get some type of shelter somewhere, but the majority still are left outside of the box because there's just so much of this. And today, it's even greater. My sister lives in New Jersey. She says the homeless situation there is incredible.
Her Jose, with what you've seen, what do you propose? Any thoughts?
I think that the problem is all economic. There are no jobs. The only jobs are around the city. And the type of jobs that these people are being offered are jobs such as working for minimal pay, which is never going to afford housing anywhere near New York City.
And, Jose, I'm going to leave it there. I really appreciate your call. Thank you very much. Call us again. Dr. Nunez, is he right, in your opinion, to link pay and jobs in New York to the housing issue. Can we talk about housing just in terms of housing, or do we have to talk about larger economic forces?
Well, of course, employment and income are part of this. But New York, when you talk about housing in New York, it's dichotomy. It's need and greed. We've gone through a period of major greed. We're building luxury housing in droves, yet we have a major need. If we're not careful, we're creating here in New York City a Hamptons on the Hudson, where we're going to have wealthy people who are going to need services. They're going to need people to work and do things, and people aren't going to be able to afford to live here.
Ken in New Haven. You're on WNYC. Hello, Ken.
Hi. I'm not in New Haven. I actually live in Manhattan. I'm a Section 8 landlord. I own property in New Haven County, Connecticut, and I also own property in Western Pennsylvania. The regulations in Pennsylvania are very low. It is easy to evict somebody, and it is easy to get a house renovated and put a tenant there. Because of that, I am more willing to take a chance on a marginal person, on a person who might not have good credit, might not have steady income, a person who in New York would be homeless. In New York City, if you let such a person into your unit, it is very difficult to get them out. They have huge legal ability to cause you a large amount of trouble, and you are punished for taking a chance on the marginal people.
And so that's leading landlords to not accept Section 8 vouchers at all?
Well, not just the Section 8 vouchers, but also lower rent. There are people that I have in places in Western Pennsylvania. The houses are not in particularly good condition, but the rent is low.
Mm-hmm.
That's all the people can afford. I let them in, and I can take a chance on them. I'm not allowed to do that in New York because the standard for housing in New York is very high. Okay. For example, if you paint a room in New York, if it's not all painted the same color, that's a violation. An inspector can call you up on that.
Really interesting, Ken. Thank you very much. Have you done enough of a cross-state comparison, Dr. Nunez, to agree or disagree with
him? Oh, no, it's totally true.
New York's rules and regulations actually get in the way of low-income housing?
Absolutely. In Pennsylvania, you can evict someone within 2 weeks. In New York City, that's not the case. So landlords do not want to buy into subsidy programs. This is where subsidy programs become a problem. The landlords who will take them are real slumlords, for-profit people who are only interested in getting their money and not the family and the problems.
So do you think that, ironically, it's actually better for low-income tenants to have fewer protections under the law of the kinds that he was describing?
No, I think protections are important. I think what we have to do, again, is to prioritize who we give vouchers to. We should give to families that are most prepared and have the greatest probability of surviving out there and working with these landlords, who will then ask for another. If you give them a worst-case scenario, they're never going to ask, as this gentleman said.
NYCHA. 600,000 people live in public housing in New York City, the most public housing still intact of any major city. Here's a clip of Bill de Blasio on his NYCHA watch list from July. Listen.
All the problems and challenges facing New Yorkers, the thing we hear about the most is repairs going unmade in NYCHA buildings. And this is serious health and safety problems in many, many cases. Asbestos, mold, leaks, vermin, rats, all sorts of problems that threaten health and safety of tenants. We call on NYCHA to focus on the health and safety repairs first. This has been an ongoing battle my office has had with the Housing Authority. In many cases, choosing to make less urgent repairs when repairs of this importance wait.
Bill de Blasio in July, and Joel Loda is also critical of the way NYCHA currently is run. Here is Loda speaking to me last week about the issue.
NYCHA Housing, or the Housing Authority, let me just start off by saying how disappointed I am with how it's currently being run and has been run for the last 12 years. We are a terrible landlord, and we need to recognize that fact. I know this will be controversial, but we should not have people who are housing advocates running the Housing Authority. It needs professional management. It needs someone to come in and say, look, we have to renovate and repair these buildings. We have to keep them clean. We have to keep them safe. We've got to make sure the front doors are locked. And, you know, that's just not happening.
So Joe Loda on his campaign website also says NYCHA should develop its underutilized land for housing and communities with retail businesses, including quality supermarkets and fresh food stores. I think de Blasio is more skeptical about that commercial development on NYCHA properties. But in sum, what is the role of the mayor in managing NYCHA and getting rid of the notorious backlog of repairs?
Should be much greater than it's been. It's a missed opportunity by the Bloomberg administration. This was the stellar public housing authority in the nation. The biggest. It was the best. And it's been neglected, and he's right, 12 years of neglect here. Mismanagement? We have people in charge of the housing authority who come from Wall Street. Wall Street has already told us what they can do about housing. It's time for change. It's time to look back. It's time for whoever comes in as mayor to really make some proper choices in who's going to run some of these agencies and who's going to maintain this housing.
Well, we have to leave it there with Dr. Ralph DaCosta Nunez, President and CEO of the Institute for Children, Poverty, and Homelessness, on low-income housing in New York City. We'll continue to deal with all kinds of affordable housing issues for New York and New Jersey in our 30 Issues in 30 Days election series all this week. It's Affordable Housing Week here on The Brian Lehrer Show as we head toward Election Day. Dr. Nunez, thank you so much.
My pleasure.